Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. We're so excited that you're here with us this morning. I have a couple announcements to share with you. The first is to remind the nominating committee that we are going to be meeting today after worship in my office. Hopefully the meeting will take about an hour or 90 minutes. I would invite the congregation to join in with me to pray for the nominating committee. They have kind of a difficult task ahead of them. So if you could remember them in your prayers, I'm sure they would appreciate it. I would also like to remind Women's Association that your meeting has been moved to next Sunday, October 13th, in the library at 10 a.m. So if you're on the Women's Association, please note that. The final announcement is to invite all of you to attend my installation service at Mount Nebo. It's going to be next Sunday, October 13th at 3 o'clock. It'll be very similar to my installation service here with a few different people participating. And there will be a cookie table afterwards. And who doesn't love a cookie table? My little old ladies there have been baking profusely for about 2 weeks, so we will probably have more cookies than anyone can eat. So please plan to attend that. Any other announcements? All right, let us begin this morning with our call to worship. Awake from your sleep, for night is gone, and the dawn of a new day has arrived. Darkness once ruled our lives, but now the light of Jesus brings our salvation to life. This time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 817, We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight. Now for our prayer of confession. God, our fears and prejudices run deep. Sometimes we can only see our own point of view. We stick with those who are like us, rarely venturing outside our comfort zones. We do not hear those crying for justice and true peace. We blame those who are suffering and in need, instead of standing by them. We deny the power of your gospel to unite us with those who are different from us. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Open us to new possibilities of life for all your people, and use us to enact the new life given in Christ. Join with me now for our words of assurance. By Christ's work, we are reconciled and united with God and with one another. Thanks be to God for the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Amen. Let us now greet one another in faith. Wow, no, you're not wrong. Before we greet one another in faith, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us greet one another. All right. I have some special instructions for our anthem. So it's going to be...
What?
Oh, okay. Like, did I mess up again? So it's going to be a congregational anthem, not just a choir's anthem. So Mickey's going to play through it once, then the choir's going to sing through it once, and then we will join in. And the lyrics are on the screen. All right. I'm going to stay standing, but we can sit. Are we sitting or standing?
You can sit, but you can dance if you want to.
You have permission.
Mm-hmm.
a tough act to follow. We have multiple prayer requests for the same cause today. I don't really remember that that ever happened before, but we want to ask for continued prayers for Mabe Sasso, and we do have an update. She did have her balloon surgery, and she has had a good outcome, and she is home. So after 11 days at the Cleveland Clinic, her surgery was successful, and we offer praise for that and continued prayers for her speedy and complete recovery. Also prayers, John and Carol Kane are asking for prayers for safe travel this week for Stephanie Kane Manier. And Verna Milbert called this morning with a praise request. God bless her. She had called to say that she had a wonderful time at the picnic last week, and thanks to everybody who made that happen and everybody who was involved. And she wanted us to know that she has shared all of her wealth and gifts that she received last week, and that she has passed along all of the items from her gift baskets. So we have been part, she's been part of our outreach.
That might be my favorite prayer request ever. I'm just going to say a general prayer of thanks for the picnic, but it'll be hard to follow that act. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our hymn of preparation, number 691, Lord, When I Came Into This Life. Be seated. Friends, let us pray. Lord, we come before you today like the apostle, asking that you would increase our faith. Lord, as we bring before you our concerns and also our joys, we pray that we would learn to see you at work in all aspects of our life and our world. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, we rejoice that Maeve Sasso's heart surgery went well and that she is at home recovering. We pray your continued healing upon her as she recovers. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we lift up to you this week, Stephanie, as she travels this week. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, we thank you for all of the saints who helped make the picnic happen last week. We thank you especially for the deacons who coordinated it and set up and served and tore down. Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship, and we pray that we would be able to continue doing it in the future. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning. Well, it's a good thing it's a short one.
It is.
The scripture reading today is from Luke 17, verses 5 through 10. The apostle said to the Lord, Increase our faith. The Lord replied, If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, Come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, Prepare supper for me. Put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. Bless the reading of today's lesson.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Lord, please increase my faith. I imagine that there isn't a single person in this room who hasn't prayed that prayer on at least one occasion. I imagine that we want more faith to see the ways that God is at work in our lives, but also in our world. We want more faith so that we know when really bad things happen to us, we don't suffer in vain. We want more faith to see that we are all connected to one another, despite our differences. Our scripture passage for this morning affirms that faith is indeed an essential part of following Jesus. But in kind of typical Lucan fashion, here Jesus tells us that we actually already have enough faith to do whatever is required of us. We don't need to pray for this superhuman reservoir of faith. God has already given us whatever we need to flourish in community. Faith, the size of a mustard seed, is sufficient for even the most demanding tasks of discipleship. This week, as I was reflecting on discipleship, I've come to realize that I think the most difficult part of discipleship is forgiveness. And when I say forgiveness, I mean stopping to feeling resentment towards someone who has hurt us. Forgiveness is difficult because it's hard to not be angry at someone who has hurt you. What's even more complicated is that sometimes we can think resentment is what will take the hurt of betrayal away, when really all it does is create a wound that never heals. If we don't forgive those who have hurt us, we will carry the weight of this resentment around with us forever. Jesus says that forgiveness is an essential part of discipleship because it is the only thing that will free us from past hurts. And because we can't live in community with one another without it. Last week, I was reminded of the importance of forgiveness when a good friend asked me to give the pastoral charge at her installation. A pastoral charge at an installation service is kind of like the best man's speech at a wedding. You want to keep it light and short, so you crack a few jokes at the new pastor's expense. But you also want to offer a few words of wisdom that the new pastor can hold on this wild ride that is parish ministry. As I reflected on what words of wisdom I wanted to offer my friend, I decided to charge her with loving the unlovable people in her ministry. As pastors, but I would also argue as disciples of Jesus, we are all tasked with loving unlovable people because we believe that Jesus loves the unlovable in us. All of us have unlovable parts to ourselves, and sometimes we behave in ways that are not lovable. If we're going to live in community with one another, those unlovable parts are bound to rise to the surface, particularly during times of stress. I told my friend, I wish I could tell you the call to discipleship is just to love the people you already admire and respect. But if that were the call, everyone would do it. No, the call is to love those who are different than you, who annoy you, who make you question if this is what you should be doing with your life in the first place. One thing I have to say is that my favorite thing about the church today is that it is just about the only institution left in our society where we are forced to interact with people who are different than us. People of all different political persuasions, ages, men, women, children, from different education levels, socioeconomic statuses, cultural heritages. All of us gathering in this space week in and week out. All of those differences are bound to cause conflict at some time or another. But the only way I found that I'm able to engage with this conflict is when I take seriously the church's call to love even those who are hard to love in her ministry. I told my friend that this call includes loving those who vote differently than you do, who raise their children differently than you are raising yours, to love those who grew up in a different era than you did, those who have maybe never heard of online banking, or those of us who have never sat down to balance a checkbook. The call, like Matthew says, is to love those who insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. I told my friend that the only way to love unlovable people is to stop resenting them, and that there is just no easy way to go about doing this. I believe when someone hurts you, it is only faith that allows you to forgive them. Faith that because of Jesus, no one exists outside of the possibility of restoration and redemption. Faith that if you turn this resentment over to Jesus, Jesus will free you of the pain this person caused you. Faith that the pain that this other person caused you is more about their pain than yours. I don't want to lie to you this morning. Forgiveness is never going to be easy. But I think perhaps it was designed this way. If it was easy, then Luke would not need to write an entire gospel account teaching us how to do this. You'll notice as you read Luke, which perhaps makes him different than the other gospel writers, that Luke makes faith as necessary for forgiveness as Matthew does for healing. Luke reminds us that forgiveness is an act of faith in God. It's how we participate in this faith. And we do this not by our own strength, but by the grace of the one who goes before us. We don't do it because we think we can change the past, but we do it so that we don't keep repeating the past in the future. I hope by now I've convinced you that this parable is not a question of whether or not one can have enough faith for the work of discipleship. This parable is actually about the work of forgiveness. Just as a slave's duty is to do as he or she is ordered, so a disciple's duty is to forgive. An act that, in Luke's understanding of forgiveness, requires faith. A faith that we don't earn by our own merit, but that we receive as a gift from God. Faith isn't something that we work on, or that some people have and other people don't. Faith is a gift of God for the people of God. This is why Jesus says, even faith the size of a teeny tiny mustard seed will do. Because while we are asked to initiate forgiveness, we trust that it is God who actually does the work of forgiveness. It is God who brings about the restoration and redemption of humanity, not us. It is God who brings about hope for and the healing of creation, not us. We forgive others so that we don't get in the way of what God is already doing in our midst. I'm sure by now you know where this sermon is headed. I believe our parable for this morning invites us to reflect on who in our lives we need to forgive. And it challenges us to take the first baby step towards forgiveness. It challenges us that instead of waiting for more faith or for the other person to see the error of their ways and repent, that we give it a try. trusting that God has already given us everything we need. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, let us prepare ourselves to receive the sacrament of communion with hymn number 497. We're going to sing verses 1 and 5, Bread of Life from Heaven. Be seated. Friends, before we serve communion today, I have a few logistical things to go over with you. So in an effort to make the communion liturgy a little bit more accessible, I've typed it up and we've put it on the screens so you can follow along with it during the communion liturgy. Since this is the first time we're running through it, we just have it on the screens, but eventually I'll have copies that you can follow along with you in your pews. It's the same liturgy I've been doing for the last year. It's just written out so you can follow along with it. Because this is the first time we're doing it, there may be typos and there may be things that I have forgotten, so I ask for your grace and forgiveness if we encounter them in the next 15 minutes. Just wanted to let you know we're going to try that out today. And now we will begin with our service of communion.
According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread, it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast that he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, Creator and Ruler of the universe. In your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and serve you, and to live in peace with your whole creation. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever say to the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry, in every place. As this bread is Christ's body, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Sorry, at the other church, we do the pastoral prayer now. We already did it here, so we're going to skip through that part. Right. Let me bless our elements. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the sign of the new covenant, shed for you in my blood, that whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, "With Eyes of Faith." The lyrics will be on the screen.
Thank you.
say a word of blessing as we go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.